audios, go to www.wordchurch.biz. That's B-I-Z.
Well, I'm in John 14, and we're going to start with verse 8. I may wish I hadn't used this translation I'm using, but it's a little easier to follow. It says here, Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father. That is all we need." Wow. Show us the Father. That's all we need. I've come to tell you tonight that I believe he was right. That what this thing is about, we're doing. And what when Jesus started walking down that gospel highway, that gospel road, that gospel journey, that journey while he was on earth, when he started walking on that, Philip asks him, "Show us the Father." And he says, "That's all we need." You ever see a artist really working, you know, really working on something? I mean, a real artist really working on something, painting something or forming something. I could be wrong about some people, but when Michelangelo or Michelangelo did some of his painting that you can still see today in Rome, I think I'm hoping it's the right person, I think it was, in this museum in Fort Worth, we saw, I believe it was the earliest thing he had painted one day. Was that right, Julie? Was that? And I bought a thing, I bought a little
picture.
I think it's Michelangelo, but whatever. If you see a great artist working, this is what I think you'll see. I think you'll see somebody that is not distracted and is totally into what they're doing. And I think that's what you would have noticed about Jesus. That he was totally focused in on showing people who the Father is. Because there's been a huge misunderstanding in the world. Mm-hmm. Satan started that misunderstanding in the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of things right. But some of it we hadn't gotten right. And Jesus was so... things had been going the wrong way for so long in Israel that when he came to show them the Father and said, "The Father's in me and I'm in the Father and we're one," they think he's a lunatic and they want to have him killed. That's how far off we got. Because, you know, you can talk about God all you want. You can talk about God this and God that, and you can make all these great statements and you can write books. But some people like that, if they have to really face God himself, they get scared as they can get. Fear is a big thing. There's a book today, I'll just tell you, it's called Strange Something. It's a famous book in evangelical circles, Strange Something. It might be Strange Fire, but... You know what I think the basis of all that is? I think it's fear of having to deal with God as he is, who is a living God. I'm not saying the guy's not a believer or something. I've heard the guy preach that wrote that book. All it is a rehashing of Calvinistic cessationism, if you want to know what it is. That all the miracles have ceased and all that, or most of them. And we've got the word only to go by. Well, we go by the word only. But God gives us stuff in line with the word to do. It's a way that is a wrong way when you say that God can't talk to you. And you say God doesn't work miracles and you get afraid of all miracles. Now, I'm pushing extreme because I've known people like this. And the truth is they really kind of believed in miracles, you know, as I've told you. Went there, one guy, they had a missionary, came back. He came back and told about a miracle that had happened in Africa, and they had to come up with all kind of theological twists and turns to explain how that could have happened. So they've got ways it can really happen. And it's not that they don't believe, it's just a huge part of what God's doing they've blocked out. This is what the Pharisees did, and the Sadducees and the council, most of them, at that time, they got really off. But what Jesus came to do was to show them something that was terrifying to them. show us the Father, and that will be sufficient for us. To show them what God is really like. Wow. To show us what God is really like. So, Jesus answered him. That's nice. He asked such a good question. I don't know. Jesus might have thought, you know, I'm not going to answer that. That's great. But no, he answered the question. As he does when you ask him a question. May not answer it exactly like you had in mind. But he will show you what the answer to your questions are. You know, like all people say, well, God will give you an answer one way or another. The answer may be no and all that. I realize that the answer can... Well, Jesus says, seek and you'll find. I realize there's a no answer to some things you ask, but some people, it's like, it's always no. In other words, God always says no. But to take a scripture that is talking about a particular thing, but the idea behind it, he says, all the promises of God are yes and amen. God says a lot of yeses. Peter wants to do something ludicrous. He wants to walk out on the water like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to walk on the water. And Jesus didn't say, now this is for me, not for you, please. He said, come on. And then when he got to looking too much and seeing the circumstances and seeing where he was, he starts to sink. Jesus picks him up. The other disciples didn't have to worry about that. They weren't out on the water. Some of you look like water walkers to me. You got that water walking eye, thing in your eyes. Yes, people may think you're strange if you're walking on water. Do you think there's a possibility that people thought Jesus was strange for walking on the water? Why did he do this? Why would he do that? Why didn't he just walk on, just up in the air a little ways? He had some reason for doing it. Probably because he wanted to get from one place to the other by walking on the water. He walked most places he went. He was here on this earth. Can you believe it? He was here on this earth and he had these people with him. And he walked along doing what he came to do. And all he had to do was just walk. He had somebody that came before him in the flesh that did the same thing. His name was Abraham. He walked for a living. Every place you go, I'm going to give it to you. Now, that's something. Let's go. Let's go. And he got the things he wanted that God had put in his heart, of course. But what Jesus did, he came and walked around and did this thing that Philip asked about. He showed people the Father. This is his answer when he says, show me the Father. Jesus answered, I've been with you a long time now. Do you still not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. See, he and the Father are one. They're two people, yes. They're two personalities or whatever you want to call. Parts of the Godhead. I mean, it's very hard to explain these things. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But what he's saying is, I'm just like him. And if you see the way I am, that's going to change your view a little of what God's like. God the Father's like. That's why I've always said, you know, seems to me the thing to do is to read the Old Testament through what Jesus said, because the Old Testament came to earth. The Word of God came to earth. The one who spoke the Old Testament, the one who inspired it, he came to earth. I believe I would interpret it through him, because he wrote it, so to speak. Through inspiration, we've been in all that. But the Old Testament came to earth and it became the New Testament. It was transformed. And he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Don't you get it, Philip? Do you get it? You want to know what he's like? You want to know who he is? Look at me. The way he acted, the things he did. So why do you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you don't come from me, but from the Father. They don't come from me, but the Father lives in me and does his own work. Believe me when I say to you that I am the Father and the Father that I am in the Father and the Father's in me. Or believe because of the miracles I've done. I tell you the truth. Whoever believes in me will do the same things that I do. Those who believe will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. You get cessationism out of that and you got a problem. Or if you believe in it, that everything stopped, you've got a real problem with this verse. Because what it says is you will do greater things than he because you believe. Now that is a hard thing to wrap your mind about. It's a hard thing to understand. It's a hard thing maybe to believe. But it happens to be the truth. What's the basis of miracles? The basis of what's I think I quoted this the last time I spoke. Kenneth Hagin wrote somewhere that miracles or healing, one of the two, I forget which it was, is the dinner bell. That's what brings people in. It certainly was back here, brought a lot of people in. And he was having trouble bringing people in. And he had, I believe it was Saturday night meetings, I remember right, and people weren't coming in. But they just kept believing God to do miracles. He heard that thing about the dinner bell, so he kept praying for people and kept doing things, and all of a sudden, there wasn't a place for anybody to sit. If you believe in the Father, miracles will happen for you.
Yeah.
If you believe in Jesus, miracles will happen for you. And if you think we don't mean miracles, just look in the face of somebody who just got one that thought it was all over. He said, Father, he said, Lord, show us the Father. And he says, that's what I've been doing since I came here. In effect, that's what he said. And he just kept going around doing that. That's what we do. That's what Paul did. Did Paul do everything perfect? No, but he showed him the Father. Did Peter do everything perfect? No, but he showed him the Father. Abraham, you go back even further. Did he do everything right? No, but he had a big way of showing the Father and how Father operates. He operates by faith. Just holding on out there in the void, on the water. That's how God operates. That's how he does things. When he said, let there be light, there was no objective evidence when he said it. But after he said it, there was. He said, if you say to a mountain, move, that the mountain will move. We've heard that so much, but I want to tell you a secret about that. He said, if we say to the mountain to move, it will. I'm not going to put any qualifiers on it. You can figure out the qualifiers. You can talk to God about it. That's what one of the problems that we preachers have. We preachers have a big problem. We try to tell everybody how to believe it. But everybody needs to learn how to believe it and how to act it out and how to do it. We're the body of Christ. The pastor's not the body of Christ. The pastor is part of the body of Christ. Around here, if I went on a 6-month trip, nobody'd hardly notice. Why do they need to?
We miss
your wife, man.
Yeah. That's the way it ought to be, in a way. In a way, that's the way it ought to be. In other words, there ought to be so much going on that, hey, old Tom hadn't been here in a while. Well, good. I hope he stays away. It's going great without him.
I hope
he's doing great things out there. We can always watch him on video. We'll just watch an old video, Don. He can stay another 4 months. I'll tell you this. The first time I went to the Thursday night meeting, and the last, I think I went once or twice. I think just once. I wandered in there, sat down. I believe Joe Lee was up saying something. And I sat there and I thought, what am I doing in here? And I left. I haven't ever come back other than to pick people up or walk through or whatever. A lot more than 6 months. We were down at Wheatland. People got an idea. We want to start a food pantry. Now I can't talk, need to sit down. I'm going to in a minute. we need to start a food pantry, and I wanted to kind of help them, you know, so I made a call or two to help them get started, and I realized somebody had said something somewhere. They said, if you don't watch it, something will become a pastor's project. Pastor's projects don't do too good sometimes.
Yep.
Pastor conceived, pastor done. And he may be done for if he keeps doing stuff like that. So what I did, I quit calling. I quit setting them up. I'd say, well, you can call so-and-so and everything. The thing absolutely became theirs and it exploded. And just every once in a while, people would gripe that I didn't do anything. I realized that wasn't my ministry.
That's right.
But it was theirs, and if I let them go to do it and got my hands off of it, did I like everything they did? No. But I've joked about it, and this is kind of a joke, but it created the first traffic jam in Wheatland I've ever seen. A traffic jam in Wheatland! Why, it looked like Broadway in New York City up there. I'm exaggerating. It worked. Why do you think Jesus left so quickly? He's over here 3 years. He did his thing. He showed the Father, and he's out of here. And he says, you're going to do it. And you're going to go to the furthest most places in the world, and you're going to do it. Well, some of them even went to the moon, but there wasn't anybody to talk to, so they came back. Disregard that remark. I think some of them said some spiritual things up there, didn't they? Didn't they?
Yeah.
What'd they say, Scott?
I
think they quoted a scripture too, didn't they?
Yeah, they had communion.
Yeah. So, I mean, talk about showing people from a high platform. But I'm just saying, people have gone to the uttermost part of the world and showed people the Father. And we're still at it. We're still doing it. You talk about me going across. I said this before the video started about going clear completely across, halfway across the United States. Just happened to run into Roy Betzer. I didn't even know he was there. But I have heard stories from Kent. Kent would tell the stories of what happened that week, just sometimes to everybody, mostly just to one of us or two of us or something. And the most amazing encounters of running into somebody and something happening and this happened, and it just was so orchestrated by God to give somebody a shot at something. Wow. So I'm gonna what's that?
Blow it.
Let's blow it. We don't need to know why. Kent's back there. He's going to blow the shofar, so that's what you're going to hear. Speak.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now you may say out there, what in the world are those people doing? Is there another channel we can watch on this Houston thing? I don't know what he was doing, but I'll tell you this. I've seen amazing things happen when one of those was blown.
Yes, yes.
Larry used to have us put it on our hands on it. So just believe. This is an Old Testament thing that would happen. It's the way Jericho fell, in case you didn't know. Do we understand that? No. Do we understand how they made a noise? I don't understand one thing. God told them to do it.
That's obedience. Mm-hmm.
People are going everywhere showing the Father. That's what they're doing. Scott's going to come up. He has a further revelation here. And he's going to tell you about it.
Folks, I see that the Lord had a plan. And the plan was not only to send Jesus, but his plan was not only to show the Father, but to put the Father inside of us, just like he is in Christ. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yes.
In other words, I'm acting just like him, but he is acting through me. There is a ministry that God wanted to place within his people. And you have to be placed in you, you have to be the receptacle. You have to receive what God has for you. And Jesus went on and told some things here. First of all, let's look again at verse 10 of John 14. Notice that he says, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Listen, that ought to take the pressure off right there.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't be God, but we can be like him. And let him do his works through us. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in and through me. In and through me. This is the idea that God had all along. To put himself inside of us. So that wherever we go, we carry him with us. Wherever we speak. We speak his words. Wherever we do works, the works of the miracles will be done by the Father in us, just like he did through Jesus. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. Right there it is. Let's not change the word, because the word is accurate. And the thing that God wants us to do is to rely upon him for the miracles. We don't do the healing. But we cooperate with the healing. We pray and we expect and we see things accomplished. Verse 11, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Because they couldn't believe that Jesus, born of a human, was able to be called the Son of God. Where did he come from? He even went to his hometown. He said there he could do no mighty works. Well, if Jesus could do no mighty works, there's a few times that maybe I can't do mighty works. But it says the reason they couldn't is because the lack of their faith, the unbelief in that town. They didn't expect him to be the miracle worker. They expected him to be Joseph the carpenter. Joseph the carpenter, we know this guy. We grew up with him. We went to school with him. We understand where he comes from. But Jesus here says to his disciples where he really came from. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So he must have come from the Father. Is that right? He came from God. And then we say here, look at verse 16. Jesus says here something about praying and asking the Father for something. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Well, actually, it's not another helper. It's the same helper in the form of the Spirit. It is God himself coming inside by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait. For the anointing to come, the gift of the Father will come, and he will send the Spirit of truth. And I will give you another comforter, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He dwells with you and he will be in you. This is the promise that Jesus said, the Spirit will come. You know, Jesus said many times, John came to baptize in water, but I have come. There is one who has come to baptize in the Holy Spirit. And right here he says the world cannot receive this same Spirit. Only those who believe, only those who accept that Jesus Christ has come from God, the Father. And it's important to believe that. It's important to believe that. Then he says in verse 19, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. At that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. So we see here the three. I am in the Father, you are in me, in Christ, and I in you. Jesus said, in verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So here is God's desire to make his home inside of you, that all of us would know him and receive him, receive the Holy Spirit. Actually, he told us in Acts 1:8 that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses throughout the whole world. So God says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. It is, and then he says, but you will receive power. Verse 8. So what we got to know is, first of all, the works come from the Father. Father in Jesus doing the works. He said, I can do nothing without him. And then he told his disciples, you can do nothing without me. So it is the same thing. And Jesus, if he did not do miracles on his own, then that means that we can do miracles not on our own, but letting God do them through us. We can't heal anyone, but God in us can heal. And we are his arms and his hands that we stretch forth and lay upon people. It's as if Jesus is in us and he is here. And we lay our hands on the sick, and it says in Mark 16, and they shall recover. And they shall recover. They shall be healed. We are Jesus, someone says, with skin on. You knew what I was going to say. We're like Jesus with skin on. That he is spirit, God is spirit, but he lives in us, in a flesh body. And he goes wherever we go. He does the works that he wants to do. What we have to do is have an ear to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive what God wants to do. Let him speak through us. Let him heal through us. Let him minister to people. Let him serve through us. Let him love through us, because we are filled with God's love. Amen. Now look at Colossians chapter 1. I'll show you something that Jesus, when he came, it's very important, because Jesus one day said, he who receives the Son receives the Father. He who rejects the Son rejects the Father. Yes. So it's very important that Jesus is the focal point of our belief and our acceptance. Let's look at Colossians 1, verse 12. Here Paul is praying, and he says, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Who is it that gives us? Who is it? It's the Father that qualifies us. He makes us qualified to receive the inheritance. In other words, God says, you are my son. You are my daughter. And you will share in his inheritance of the saints in the light. Verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Who has? Jesus has. Delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. See, Jesus came to bring us out of the dark kingdom and take us into his kingdom, which belongs to God. When you become a child of God, you are moved from darkness to light. You are moved from being blind to being able to see. You're moved from death to life. And those things which God ordained, and through Jesus Christ, He brings us life. Those who have the Son have life. Those who do not have the Son do not have life. So He delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into, or moved us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. There it is, right there. That confirms what He said in John 14, 8. It says here, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. All things consist and hold together. What God sent Jesus to do is to hold the kingdom of God together and bring all those who are believers in Him out of darkness into light, into His light. Verse 18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. What is preeminence? It means first place. First in everything. God is first in everything. Jesus Christ has come, and it says that He is the image of the invisible God, and He is before all things. He was part of creation. He worked, He created all things. He is the head of the church, firstborn from the dead. So when He raised from the dead, He was the first one that conquered or overcame death as a human being. For it pleased the Father, verse 19, that in Him all the fullness should dwell. All the fullness should dwell. That's what He's talking about. He's talking about all that the Father has been placed in Jesus. All that Jesus has been placed in us. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He has made us accepted in the Beloved. He has made us as new creations through Jesus Christ and His resurrection. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth, things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind, He has reconciled. So Jesus has reconciled us to the Father. That's why He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. And I accept you, that means the Father accepts you. I forgive you your sins, that means the Father has forgiven you. It's simple. But it's so simple that it's hard for those who do not have faith to see it and to believe it. So we have to understand. Jesus said, I'm in the Father and the Father's in Me. And the works that I do, the Father is doing them in through Me. And He had the Holy Spirit without measure. But we have that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in us. He quickens our mortal body. He makes us alive in Christ Jesus so we can live out our life. We can live out our lives doing the will of God. And it's not that hard, because He's going to be doing that work. What we have to do is trust, rely, and just rest in the fact that God's going to do something through us. And all we have to do is maybe pray for someone, lay hands on them, or just touch them with love. And you'll see something change. You'll see a miracle happen. So let's pray over this message tonight. And we'll just ask for God's blessing on it. Father, I ask, Lord, that you would speak your words deeply in our hearts. Help us to understand, Lord, that the Holy Spirit has been given so that you yourself can live inside of us. You can do the works of God through us. And we just want to surrender to you and submit our life to you. And by faith, we walk with you. We ask, Lord, that tonight you would empower us anew, fill us anew with the Holy Spirit. Lord, pour out those things into us that we need for tomorrow, the next week, and the years ahead of us. We pray, Lord, that you equip the church, equip the people to do your works. But Lord, we just want to walk by faith and not by sight. We just want to lay hands on the sick. We want to preach the gospel to the poor. We want to deliver the captives who are bound up. We want to take people out from darkness into light. Bring healing to their lives. Bring healing to their marriages. Bring healing to their children. Bring healing, Lord. Restoration and reconciling that which has been lost. So as God reconciled us to himself, we ask, Lord, that you reconcile our friends, our relatives, the people, Lord, who are heavy upon our heart. We pray, Lord, for those people who are having a tough time really walking by faith. I ask, Lord, that you help them and open the eyes of those who are dimly lit in there. They cannot see very well. We pray, God, that you open up our eyes to follow you, that we can see where you're going and we can know you deeper. Father, I bless you and thank you, Lord, for meeting the needs of the people, and that you would release your love upon us. Let your love just permeate our lives. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
Wait, wait.